I would like to really have a birth of a feather session, not a talk, and I would like to ask you to contribute and participate, not only by asking questions, but also by expressing options and criticizing the idea, if there's anything to be criticized. The basis of what I'm trying to talk about, or what I would like to talk about, is the small teams thing, that groups, that Debian is a very big group by now, and it's starting to get to the borders of its scalability. People, we have officially about 1,000 people as Debian developers, lots and lots of users, lots and lots of knowledgeable people, and some inactive maintainers, and we start to lose sight of each other. We don't know each other anymore, all, of course, for a long time already. And I think that small teams are a very good way of addressing all these issues at once. Small teams, as I expressed my platform, that's the URL there, under the small teams topic, are, I think, one of the most important characteristics that a group as Debian can have to be in a to grow in a healthy way and in a scalable way, because they can provide a smooth entry into Debian when people ask lots of questions, when people don't know the ways Debian works yet, and where they need to learn a lot, and where they perhaps only want to help out a little bit in the beginning. At that point, they could learn easier and more smoothly and without less interruption and stuff in a small team. They could also, it's also a good way of getting to know people, because you only have to learn to get around with 10 or so people, not with 1,000 or the people who are hanging out on the big mailing list or on the IRC. And because you are able to get to know each other faster, you're also more likely to get to know them quicker and feel at home faster. Because of that, it's also much more likely that you don't drop out as fast. If you have friends and if you have people who you relate to, not only in a social context, but in a technical context, but also in a social one, where you can talk about any problems you might have, not only technical, but also with your car or with your favorite football team losing again and stuff. This might be a better one possible place where you can start to talk about about stuff, and where you could meet others to relate to. That's not the goal, to only talk about football or cars, but it's an additional thing that you might be interested in, and your common developers are they might be able to be interested in the same things. And pardon?
You're talking about loops?
No. I talk about groups on IRC, like where you have a little community which shares more than only technical problems. And these small groups can also form a certain knowledge pool when they work on a common subject. They will communicate about problems and solutions, and they will also be able to remember problems and solutions that others had before, and be able to ask the other one, how did you solve this again, and how did that work? And they also will be able to help others to solve the same problem again, and perhaps solve the same problem themselves, perhaps. So knowledge is spread out, and it's not in one single place, but it's in several places at once. Because these teams can grow and divide themselves, they are also a very good way of to scale, because they are self-organizing. There's no central authority which will be needed to talk to when the team splits up into two groups, into two smaller groups again, when it once it grew. Once the team discovered that one part is more interested in the translation part, for example, of a program, and the other part is more interested in further development, they have reached a certain size, they might just be able to split up and still have ties there, but work on their own on these special focus topics.
One question. Sorry, I missed the start. Do you have in mind teams, small teams of developers or end users, or both?
Actually, it can be both.
Yeah.
It can be a very smooth new maintainer process, actually,
okay,
where the training happens in the group, and it doesn't need a formalized thing, more or less. Once you notice that this person grew into a very knowledgeable person in this field, you might just tell him, hey, why don't you get a Debian account? You could work even more efficient then. We think that you know everything that's needed to be a full-fledged Debian developer. Yeah. And others might not be interested in that. Perhaps they would just like to translate this little application forever, and update strings and stuff. Or perhaps others come into the group and by just asking questions, because they have problems with these kind of applications in Debian. Mm-hmm. And with time, they not only know the application, but they also become interested in developing it further. And then they might even do that. And actually, in these small groups, it's much easier to develop your special skills, your talents that you as a person inherently have, even further to say, you might notice for the first time that you are very good at graphics design, not just programming, and with help of others in that group, you might develop that skill further and further, and learn in that context. Others might perhaps notice that they are good leaders for these kind of small groups. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard in Debian right now to develop leadership skills, because leaders are right now kind of frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
And in these kind of groups, it would be possible to train very without being able to do much damage, or on a small scale, these kind of talents and things, which are definitely there but are right now in Debian hardly recognized, and And within these small groups, communication gets much easier, because you have only few people who are you have to relate to. You know people better. You know what their buttons are, what they need to talk about, and how to explain stuff. And because it can be informal and it takes less effort, perhaps the knowledge within the group is probably better distributed, and communication is easier. Then I also gave some characteristics of what the team should be like in my platform. They shouldn't be growing too big. If a group, the sweet spot is, I guess, seven people. And if they are become, if it becomes too big, then people lose sight of each other, they drop out, and the MIA, missing in action, problem reappears. If the group is small, people who drop or who seem to drop out can be caught much easier. It's not about catching people. It's more like keeping people hot on the topic, so to speak. Or if someone is having a hard time in real life, you might either support him or know what's going on, and trigger him once the problem is perhaps over, so that he can come back into the group or can come back to working in the group. And the group must be aware and should be aware, and it might even look forward to the point where it divides, where it's not one group but two groups. It might be some people might feel like, oh, it's so cozy with these few people here, and we don't ever want to grow and don't ever want to separate. But actually, it should be in their minds that that's not a bad thing. That it's a healthy process to at some point split up and extend the whole growth process, and that it's a healthy and normal thing. It's a biological thing, so to say. And these people must be somehow compatible.
Social compatible.
Yeah, that's what I said. so if some people have a... Do you know what I mean with social compatible? It's hard to explain, I feel. Can someone think of a good example?
Maybe it's a one-to-one of the German, and so the Germans understand.
Only German understand the... Perhaps is it a German thing to say social compatibility?
If you dislike another one, you will not work with him together.
You don't understand me?
No, I said it's about communication, it's about the
matter. Of course, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's not just communication, it could even be like work habits. People might, you know, like to check everything into version control very quickly and have everything well documented. And some people may have a completely different style to that.
Yeah,
and
true.
It would irritate each other if they had to work together and they weren't really, you know, having the same style.
Right. And for the communication, it's also important that people spend time together, that they don't just, and that this communication is kind of real time, that it's not, mailing lists are kind of not very lively. Well, they can be lively, but it's hard to get the character of a person on a mailing list. Mailing lists can be much different than meetings like these, or ISC, or other more interactive things. So it would be good if the contact is as real as possible, and if people are in the same time zone even, so that they can meet on ISC or whatnot regularly, or if they have phone meetings, for example, even, I'm not sure, could be everything. What I also said before is that the team should not concern itself about technical matters only. Even if it's a technical working group, it should be possible to bring up personal issues. That's important for growing friends, more or less. The goal is not to have an exclusive group of friends, but to have people who feel something positive for each other, who have some kind of respect for each other, not only working-wise, but perhaps or even socially.
What if by chance the people in this team cannot work together? What should we do if it doesn't work in this team?
That comes to conflict resolution.
Yeah.
The question was, what could we do if we if people can't work together in these kind
so
of small groups.
If one or two members in the team are just stupid, say it this way.
Okay. if people are too stupid to be dealt with. Well, there's always the option to leave them, for example. That's the ultimate reason, the ultimate...
To fork.
Yeah, it's possible that it's that these two people or more people are this one person fits up better into another group, and then you should encourage him to look for that group.
If they are working on the same topic and this socially stupid persons are technically perfect.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like,
is it me you're talking about?
I think teams are never fixed. That it's a dynamic process.
Right.
Some members will leave the team and other will join the team. So you have always this dynamic thing.
True.
In teams.
Of course, you also should be able to address such issues.
Yeah.
That you should point out to a person that he should perhaps change in a certain way, or that the whole group needs to perhaps adjust and become more stupid. No.
The problem is, well, the people form around the task, and I was just provocating. I have no certain thing in mind now, but it might happen that people who are formed around this certain task are just not able to communicate.
Yeah.
They want to solve the task.
I think in real life it's not that common. I think usually when you form a group and people notice that they don't fit in, they just don't grow in further. It's not that much of a real problem, I think. And it's more likely that people who work well together actually form a group. And yeah.
I think the real life events are very important for small teams.
Yeah.
And if there is a communication problem, I will have something else to say, but you must make your best to have people just meet. Actually, just like we are doing here. I used to say that people are very unlikely to flame together when they have met once in real life.
Yeah.
And this is at least very important. Not easy to do, but this is important for teams' life, to just meet. And as you said, to be kind of a group of friends and share something else than technical tasks.
Mm-hmm. True. Another thing which I also briefly mentioned was that the group should be open to new people. They shouldn't form this, we are feeling together, we are feeling so good together, we don't want new people because they would disturb our nice little world here. But they should be open for people who want to come into the group, who have additional talents and who want to participate. They should be should even have some kind of smooth entry point where they can easy tasks for newcomers. Actually, it's not true that new people in a group want the sexy problems right away. Spell checking the documentation is an excellent task for new people. Really, things that need no high skill set, just to come into the thing, just to get used to the thing, to the whole process. Simple things are much more effective to rope people into the real work, which comes sometimes later, than the sexy technical problems which are to be solved later. Another good thing for a team is to have some kind of leader. I think you see that in lots of places in Debian. The internationalization project has,
look at me,
has good leaders, I think. Debian Installer has good leaders.
Yeah.
Debian Edu has a leader. There are other groups in local contexts which have leaders, and that works actually well. It helps. It's not that there are small kings or so which don't listen to people, but they are of course caring for the group in some way, and they try to further this group. And it's nothing to be scared about, that someone might be the become the evil over whatnot friend. Also, yeah, please.
Well, kind of like the opposite of that. What do you do if you want a team and you're ready to lead and you have all kinds of information and things to do, but nobody likes your software enough to want to join the team? I think you know what I'm referring to as well.
Webman. Yeah, Webman is a problem. Enrico Cini has the same problem with dev tags. And he started with the... What up?
It's not true that nobody likes dev tags.
No, it's not like...
Nobody likes Webman, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, it's not true. Everyone wants to help, and they say they're ready to help, and then they take one look at it, and you never hear from them again.
So maybe
that's
they decide
the
that it
might be a different problem.
The software should be different.
Well, it seems to be popular with the users, otherwise
yeah,
actually...
Yeah, they haven't looked at the code!
Yeah.
Yeah, Enrico tries the approach of giving simple tasks to people, to actually have the simple tasks ready, and tries to rope people into doing them first, and to get them more and more interested.
Yeah. This is one thing I made for the shadow package maintenance. To get more people involved, we have a lot of areas, and we started by localization tasks, and I get a few people for localization tasks. Bug triaging is very important, and it doesn't require as much skill as you might think. Doing some good bug triaging needs a good knowledge of the bug tracking system, but not necessarily a good knowledge of the software. And it's quite easy to give this task to new people, as long as they know Debian enough.
Yeah, just say Enrico once more and he will stay. He can only set Enrico, but obviously
like that. After that. That's what I wrote on my platform, more or less. And you didn't elect me.
Yeah, this is why we are here. So we had to choose between Brandon and you, and we chose to see
right.
You.
And
I voted for Brandon.
You have to go upstairs to blame the others.
Yeah, right. What problems do you see? What do you think? What would you like to talk about regarding small teams?
Well, I want to give my experience with the Germans called a Linux team, what we are doing and how we are working together. So we started this year to experiment one weekend in a month. So we have every month we have one weekend to learn and to work together. And if somebody joins this weekend, I really know if I could work with him or not. So it's a good chance to know about people more than by mailing list or by IRC.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a mathematical, it looks like a mathematical problem. I have done a lot of work in political issues, and I saw the groups are always pending between 10 and 15 people. If it goes up, it will split nearly automatically. And if it goes down less than five or four people, it will die. So this, I don't know, I'm a sociologist, but I didn't found out why it is, but it looks like a mathematical problem of communication.
Have you tried to split the group?
No.
Have you tried to develop a new leader in that group?
No, we tried to build other regions. Regional group is the approach
mm-hmm.
now. Because we are in the northern part, and there are other groups about Square Linux now. What is important to find a solution for somebody who wants not more join this group. A good solution not to lose his space. So, if there is trouble and somebody's coming, not coming, so how to solve this?
Actually, what you're saying that there's a certain range of people, numbers of people who can work together, that often is an indication of the potential of the leader. There, most people or most leaders have a certain number of open ports, so to speak, which they can keep connections up on. And often the leader is the social person in the group who keeps everyone involved and stuff. And these, some people manage somehow magically to attract over 100 people and keep them alive and keep them going. I'm not such a person. But there are actually different types of leaders. And the type of leader which is ultimately effective is that leader who looks for new leaders, makes them grow up, take over responsibility, and take over part of the group.
Yeah, there's now a working and learning weekend now in Germany at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm not there.
Great. Great.
And it's running.
Yeah, good. So
really?
Yeah, really. Yeah, you can go there. I see it. You can see what they're doing.
So, so I think the point is actually and this it's a scalability problem, and it's a leadership development problem at that point. Often groups need leaders, and most groups in Debian actually have leaders, and some are bigger and some are smaller.
Yeah, maybe. Our leaders in Debian, because of our technical culture, we based the skills to be a leader mostly on technical skills.
On coding,
yes. And this is probably a problem. We probably more need leaders with social skills, as you said.
Exactly.
And maybe less technical things than, because if you have both the technical things and the seat of leader, you can become a dictator, okay? And in just if you have not the... I speak by experience about this shadow thing, because I don't know a single byte of this the code of this package I upload. And this is quite good, because you have good people who give you good advices. And you just have to organize the things so that they work. And this is the role of the leader. And mm-hmm. sometimes just hide himself or herself and just hear, and listen, and summarize.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of the group of leader. About the scalability, it probably depends on the size of the project, because saying 10 to 15 when you talk about Debian packages is a lot of people, and I'm afraid that not much teams will reach that limit of 10 people.
Yeah.
I'm just quoting from a mail from Debian Private, only one sentence. It sucks that our former DPL is a magister in psychology and did the fuck about that. I think this is really, really Chris's example. I do not speak about the facts he did not thought about, but I think it's not true. But the reasoning that he is a magister of psychology to use that he did something wrong is completely a bad example for what happens in Debian. It doesn't matter what he studied, it's just to be a leader and not something else. And by the way, he is technical perfect in several things, I think.
Did everyone understand that? Okay.
Andreas, why you rephrase?
Yeah.
You understood.
Andreas pointed out that TBM, I think, was criticized for being not only technical person and the Debian leader, which, in my point of view, is not really helpful and not good.
TBM is one of those rare people who has 100 open ports. He
right.
He kept up with hundreds of people and knew their personal situations.
True. And
yeah, but he wasn't very visible to the anonymous people in Debian. I think he only worked with the core
No, I'm not too sure. He was very, very open, at least at the beginning.
I mentioned the person to him, he would tell me why they weren't able to work on that in any time, for example.
He just disappeared in the last past year of his two years period. So then he was really not so visible anymore, but before that he was very visible when I started working with him, and he was quite, I just wanted to answer quite often and quite helpful, so
I've really only seen him on the Devin Installer channel and practically nowhere else.
But I think this is not the problem. The problem is that people base their reasoning on the fact that he is studying psychology. It's completely irrelevant for the problem.
Actually, I got the same feedback from people when I asked for feedback why I didn't get elected, and someone said that I should try to build up a good technical reputation before I would attempt to become Debian project leader, which is, I think, not the best way to approach this. But I also got questions about drawbacks of small groups. People said that it might become a infight between small groups in Debian, that the kernel team would start blocking the installer, or that Debian Edu would hinder the development of whatnot. I don't know. Have you ever experienced this?
Well, I think there are different types of groups. If I would say it's an installer group, or what I know more is a release group, which also I say is just a small group of people. I think we are very open to add people. Everybody can join our discussion channel. IRC, everybody can write a mail. Of course, if there's off-topic discussion, we say no off-topic discussion here, please, for very good reasons, but that was it. For these groups, I didn't see anything. Of course, sometimes the kernel team, the installer team, the release team has different opinions, for example, about the kernel versions. But I think in the end, we got to a solution where we all could live with it. Nobody was really happy, but the facts didn't allow it to work, that everybody is happy with it. Even one group is totally happy, because it was just difficult. That happens sometimes, but I think in the end it was a very productive go together. Mm-hmm. And there are other teams that are a bit more hidden, I would say. They say, this person is also part of the team. I never knew that before. For example, I was really quite astonished when I was in Vancouver and then in Maine, there's something like a Team Scott, and two members of Team Scott have had this meeting. I didn't know it before when I get to the plane. Yeah, and that is really something I'm not so happy with, and it's perhaps a bit difficult to work with such a team. Because it was announced that, for example, Team Scott makes the meetings public, or makes published minutes of the meeting. I think I've had one or two minutes since the DPL election, which is, I think, 3 months ago. That's are things that make it a bit more difficult. And for example, for the release team, we make our minutes public if we have meetings. We had meetings. We usually make meetings in public. There are, of course, sometimes exceptions, but the public is the default, not the exception. I think the question is, which way of team do you want to like? And different teams behave differently in such situations.
Could you rephrase that into a more clear statement? I think that's kind of...
I think we have different types of teams, and with such, I would say, open teams, it's very easy to get on together, especially as if there's a connecting point, it will happen very fast that there are people who are in both teams. That's true between the installer team and the kernel team, that's true between the installer team and the release team, for example. And the other teams where the team membership happens on a, well, perhaps on a more, on other criteria, I would say, and it might be more difficult. Of course, there are teams where there's a good reason, for example, security team who reads VendorSec, they can't trust any developer join it, VendorSec. That's the